expectation. This is a little different. It's a Thursday now, not a Wednesday, so everybody ready to praise the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
And let's stand and sing a song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Born of His Spirit.
This is my story. Oh, this is my story. This is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior. Oh, all the day long. And this is my story. This is my song.
My story, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus, amen. Sing that song. Sing that song in moments like these. I lift up my hands, amen.
In moments like these, oh, I sing out a song, and I sing out a love song. To Jesus, in moments like these, Lord, I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up my hands to you, Lord. Singing now.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We don't have any, we do have a couple announcements. Since service was moved tonight, Brother Cam decided to cancel prayer for tomorrow. So there will be no prayer tomorrow. For those who are not here, pass that word on if you could. And also, don't forget about the Sunday carry-in. I'm sure we've all got all that around already figured out. And Brother Cam will say more, but the Gideons are coming this Sunday. So keep that in the back of your heads. But I'm sure Pastor Cam's going to say a little bit more once he gets up here. Amen. We didn't have any prayer requests or testimonies turned in. Please do remember the Garza and the Smith family. I'm sure Pastor Cam's probably going to come out and say something else about that, but their grandpa passed away yesterday, so keep them in prayer, amen, the families, if you could. I'm going to ask your brother Simon if you come lead us in a prayer, also over the tithes and the offerings.
Just keep our family in prayer there. And there's one person I know that's not in this message that made heaven. It's Grandpa Garza. So let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, once again, Lord, we've come and gathered, Lord, under your precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, not only are we not ashamed, Lord, to use it, Lord, to cast out a devil, God, Lord, to pray in your name, Lord, but we also baptize in that name, Lord Jesus, God, Lord. Many, Lord, are offended by that, Lord, but Lord, we believe your word, God, and we know that's the revelation for this hour, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, how many ages before us, God, you had winked at ignorance, God, Lord, and Lord, letting them stay in denomination, Lord, and baptize and believe in Trinity, God, Lord, which we now know, Lord, are marks of the beast, God, Lord, and you still save them, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, here we've come out, God, Lord, and Lord, we're going to stand on this word you delivered, Lord, to us, Lord, through the seventh messenger, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, may we fulfill, our Lord, the extension, God, Lord, the part, Lord, that was not fully done yet, God, Lord. For surely, Lord, in Revelations 10 and 8, God, and on from there, Lord, we have a part to play, God, Lord. We have a work to do, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, God, we're trusting, God, Lord, you anoint us all, God, Lord, to function, Lord, as that bride body of Christ, God, Lord. We want to be victorious as we head out of here, God, Lord. And, Lord, knowing the world's going to soon perish, God. And, Lord, everything's trembling, God, Lord. It's like in the financial, God, Lord, and every kind of area in this world, God, Lord, is shaking, God, Lord. And, Lord, it's about ready to hit, God. And, Lord, we want to be sound on this word, God, Lord. And we love you so much, God, Lord. And, Lord, bless all those that press the way out, God. And, Lord, those who are working, God, or can't be out, get out because of the snow, Lord, just bless them, keep them, God, Lord, and Lord, be with our little family here, God, Lord, and Lord, we lost a patriarch, Lord, of the Garza clan there, God, Lord, a little, Lord, a warrior, God, Lord, and you called him, Lord, when he was younger, God, and Lord, right out of a bar, God, Lord, and Lord, he's part of the reason I'm standing here today, God, Lord, is he lived a Christian life, God, and we appreciate that, Lord, and Lord, I know he's over there, Lord, and you're probably there, you probably had your angels pick him up this morning, God. Lord, I believe that, Lord. And Lord, just bless the tithes and offerings, God. Lord, bless the sermon, Lord, today, God. And we love you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'm going to sing a song, I'm Amazed That You Love Me. I'm amazed that you care, amen. I'm amazed, brother.
And I'm amazed that you love me. And I'm amazed how you came. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. Oh, and my
praise. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song, Amazing Love. I'm forgiven.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
I think I get unforgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. No, I'm accepted. You were condemned. No, I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'll honor you. Now I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Now I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'll honor you.
One more time, amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'll honor you.
Amen. Let's give the Lord our applause. So awesome to sing about His amazing love. Amen. Amen. Sing that song, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. Amen.
And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter His courts with praise. And I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice for He hath made me.
I will enter.
And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter His gates.
song. There's no one like Jesus. Searched all around, right?
There is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him. There is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like, there's no one. There is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one.
We're going to start out, we'll just start out right here this evening at Revelations 5:1. We're going to do a little bit of reading here. I pray that you certainly are getting what's being stated. Amen. As I'm finding out more and more of these things, as far as maybe getting a little bit better of a handle on it, I've always kind of shied away from the seals and those type of things, but I'm kind of feeling drawn to it right now. I don't know if it's just because of the anxiousness of the time or what it is, but I'm becoming a little bit more interested in that. I don't understand everything, but yet, by the grace of God, I believe I understand enough to make it. Amen? And even understanding enough to make it is actually just what understanding enough to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So praise God. Amen. Anyway, in Revelations 5, verse 1, as you remain standing here in the first verse, it says, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Not even good enough to look at the book. That's some book, isn't it? Praise God. "And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" Amen. That's good enough for now. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you this evening, God. And we just ask, God, it's certainly, Lord, bless your word tonight, the reading thereof, Lord. And I just ask, God, that the author, Lord, who is also the finisher of our faith, God, that, Lord, you would come and dwell with your people tonight, Lord. Lord, though we be a small number, God, how great is that? Greater is that, God, that we have a smaller amount we can get in one accord, God. It's easier to get into one accord, Lord God. So we realize that tonight, God. And we just want to say, Lord, we're happy to be here on a Thursday evening, God. And Lord, it's just a blessing every time we can come to the house of God. So we just pray tonight, Lord, that you just take this word that you have revealed, God, this word, Lord, that you have opened, God, and that you would, oh God, speak your word to us, God, and give us strength, oh God, into the passage that we're going, Lord. Lord, I pray you just take me where you'd have me to go, God. And let us, oh God, as we work with just on Sunday, God, let us understand, Lord, that we are a free people, Lord. The price has been paid, the debt has been settled, oh God, and certainly any binding holding us on to the devil has been what diminished to nothing, God. So we just pray, oh God, that you'd allow this revelation to sink even deeper tonight, God. We just ask you to allow it, Lord, for the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe you'd do it. And we say, amen. You may be seated. Amen. If we had a title for this evening's sermon, we'd like to give it the title, Claiming Redemption's Book. And we're working with Redemption's Claim again this evening. And I won't even really hit the head on it tonight to go too far. I'm sure I won't. And I'm going to try not to go tremendously long tonight as well. But yet, I say that every time. So, anyway, in moving into this tonight's topic, of course, we're working with the book of redemption in topic form, but yet we want to talk about claiming redemption's book. Amen? So tonight we just want to work with this a little bit, and we find within the Word you don't really find a place that the book is actually given, so to say, the title of redemption, but we realize that the purpose of the book that is revealed in Revelations 5 is redemption. Amen? Praise God. So yet we call it the book of redemption. Amen? Because within all of it is the plan of God. Amen? Right? Now, noticing this evening, I'd like to just move with this thought a little bit and don't really know how far I'll get, but yet we just want to have a good time in the house of God. We got a Thursday service. We pushed her off from a snowy day and now we got God on another night. But yet, I'm just as happy to have God tonight as I would have been last night. And I think it's a real blessing to be here. Amen? So yet, even moving into our direction tonight, remember we're working with redemption's claim, right? And notice what redemption is, and I'd like to go back real quickly to Webster's 1828. Redemption is, it is, in theology, it is the purchase of God's favor by the death and sufferings of Christ. It is the ransom or deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God's violated law by the atonement of Christ. Amen. So basically, in a nutshell, redemption is taking you from being a sinner and making you a saint. Praise God. Very simple. In another part of the definition, it says, a deliverance from bondage. Amen. Should we feel like we're in bondage tonight? Not if we have been redeemed. Praise God. And notice here it says, deliverance from bondage, distress, or from liability to any evil or forfeiture. Amen. So you actually, in honesty, you have no liability to any evil force if you are redeemed. Praise God. I think I would preach on this all night. It says, either by money, labor, or any other means. So you don't even have to labor for the devil, right? You don't have to do anything for him, because if you have found yourself to be redeemed, hallelujah, you are no longer under servitude. Praise God. Now, of course, we have a mission with where we're going tonight. And of course, you see, it is claiming redemption's book. Amen. Now, this might be a little bit of a little thought, but yet I don't know if I'll be able to do it. But yet, if God is with us, we'll be all right. So notice, if we could, I want to start out here and remember, if we could move, let's just talk about Revelation 5, and we'll move into the first verse. And we'll get a little handle on this by the grace of God. In Revelation 5:1, if you've left your place there, we're going to go right back there now. And yet, we understand in the first verse, it says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, remember, we as a people, we claim that the seals were broke, what, in 1963, when God, what, told the prophet to go back to Jeffersonville and to reveal the book to the people, right? Or so to say, to break the seals to the people. So notice the seals, of course, it was, if you think about a seal back in the day, the king, when he would write a letter, send a letter out, he would put a seal on that letter. And the seal was what actually, it purposed the envelope to remain closed until it got to its destination, right? And yet, besides that fact, we understand that we have received a seal ourselves. Remember, the Holy Ghost is a seal, right? So this evening, realize here that now this book has actually been sealed, right? And yet we understand that in this day that the book, the seals, has been broken, okay? Now, notice why this becomes important. It says in the second verse, it says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So notice now that it is actually going to take a certain individual to be able to loose these seals, right? It's going to take someone who's worthy, right? Now, we know who this worthy individual is. It's the God we love. It's the God we serve. It what? Remember, the testator became flesh so he could die for his testament, right? And you are that testament, right? You are that word, right? You are the epistle read and known of by all men. Praise God. So notice here in the third verse, and John is looking, of course, and he says, and no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. What a special book this is. That there was no man in all creation that could be found worthy to open the book, right? Brother Cam Smith was not worthy, right? John was not worthy. Moses was not worthy. Brother Branham was not worthy. Amen. Amen. No man was found worthy to even look at the book. Oh, what a special book this is. Praise God. Now let's continue. He said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So who was worthy? Remember, John wept. Why? Because if the book was not broken, then all of the humanity would be lost. The whole plan would be what? Would have fell short. And what? We would have all went to Satan's claim. Praise God. So notice what happens. He was weeping because no man was found worthy. But yet here come a lion. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And remember, your prophet said, he said, this is the most sublime passage in all the Bible. Praise God. Because this right here saves the creation. Now, I want you to think tonight how powerful this is. Because notice, this happened in 63. So, the whole purpose of all of it could not be fully made known until this significant thing happened. What? Until a claim was placed on redemption's book and that book was sealed. And only a lion who what? Who was like a lamb could what? Redeem that book. A man, what? It had to be a kinsman redeemer, just like Boaz to Ruth and Naomi, right? And God come back and redeem the book. But remember, the whole purpose of all of this is to get to a place that you can see redemption's purpose. Praise God. So notice in the sixth verse, if we could, it said, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. Oh, we know what those horns are. It's the power to the beast. The seven Gentile church ages. And continuing it says, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Seven spirits, of course, anointing those prophets and stars. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. So what? Taking the book, loosing the seals, what? It brought forth redemption. Amen. Praise God. Now I love this. He says, and it says, and to open, he says, for and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So why is it called redemption's book, or the book of redemption, is because when the book was took by the Lamb, it what? It broke forth redemption upon the creation. The whole creation would have been lost, but because he took the book, what? It brought the pathway that you and I could see him. Now, I hope this isn't too deep for us, because I want us to move very quickly to Ephesians 1:13. I want to share with you just a little bit about redemption's claim. Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now notice this. "Which is the earnest," remember, what is the earnest? A down payment of our inheritance. So, the Holy Ghost, we say you've got the Holy Ghost, you are redeemed. You are redeemed. So there's only, because remember, that is the down payment. If you have identified the sealing of the Holy Ghost in your life, it shows that God has already put a claim on you. What? So if you recognize that, you can say, "I am redeemed. I have been bought with a price. And God has showed me that where He is, I will be also." Let's continue. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." Who is the purchased possession? Like how I said that, I didn't say what. Who is? Now remember, until the redemption. Now you're going to like this. And like I said, this is what you have to see. You have to see what you are. You have to see why the seals were broke. I'm not going to get to all of it tonight. Hopefully Sunday. Yep, Gideon's got some revelation coming. But yet, we see that you can literally see. If you can see redemption, then you can see what you really are. Because notice, God did not take the book till this day. And when Christ took the book, what? He loosed it. He loosed it. Now, like I said, we're probably not going to get to all this tonight unless you really start pulling really hard. But yet, we see that, notice, you would have the Holy Ghost until He, what? Until the redemption, or He took back the purchased possession. So what? The Holy Ghost was a down payment that you were His. But when time for redemption, the full redemption's claim come, then He would take the purchased possession. And you, the female attribute of God, you are the purchased possession. His blood paid the price to atone for you. To take you from what? Your old nature, and place you into the nature of God Almighty. Hallelujah. What's your nature? The nature of God. You cannot settle for anything less. Christ will not produce anything less. He will show it in you. Now, I'm going to get a little bit more into redemption, just a little bit in the purchase as far as what redemption is. Like I said, this is actually going to a wonderful place, but I'm not going to get there tonight. But yet, and who is this Melchizedek in 1965? You'll love this quote. I love it. He says, God vindicates. Who is Melchizedek 65? Yep. God vindicates that. That's always been right. God vindicates to be true. Show plainly the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. The only one that's even considered is the predestinated. Praise God. Now notice, did you get it? Let me say it again. The predestinate is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might be making like, think they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated, because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? The redeem is, to redeem anything is bring it back to its original place. So remember, what is redemption? Redemption is to return to your natural state. Well, remember, if this is called the book of redemption, remember, the book of redemption is the book of life. And within the book of life is the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. Just different sections of the book. But we understand that the book of redemption, why is it called the book of redemption? Because when that book was opened up, it brought you back. Now, notice, in Paul's age, you could what? You could receive the earnest. But couldn't Paul go back to the original? He could not go back. Why? Because the book was still in the hand of the owner. Remember, when Adam was on earth, he held the book of redemption. He held the book of life. What? By revelation. That's why he was what he was. Now, I'm going to jump for a second here. If we could. Now, notice here, very quickly here. In the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, he says, now remember, let's 91-4, brother. Now remember, let's read the first verse again so we can get it together. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, God. Who is it? Who is that? That's absolutely original holder of the book of life. He holds it. God does. When Adam forfeited it, it went back to its original owner. Praise God. So here we see Adam forfeited the book. He had the book. Praise God. So notice when he what? He didn't by chance. He actually made the decision to what? To become sin for his wife. Because he couldn't live without her. Type of Christ. Amen. And in doing that, Satan could not get the book because it was never his. He didn't buy it. He didn't get it. And it wasn't given to him. So it had to go back to the original owner, which was God. Until now, or until 1963, that book has been in the original owner's hands. Moses didn't have that book. Joshua's son, stand still, did not have that book. But what? They could claim on redemption's work, but they could not become the finished product. Only the book could release the people back to the state of redemption. Someone must go back to the original state. When? When God makes a body change? No, because the book is what takes you there. If the book is open, that means it's for you to become that book. I'm going to get excited. I just can't help it. Hallelujah! This has already been done. 63, that happened. Why did it linger? Why? Because of you. Praise God. Now, give me a second here. Might read you one more real quick if I can find it. Breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals in 63:3-17, 86-4. It says, waiting for redemption's claims. It's redemption. What is this book of Revelation? Or this book of redemption, this title deed. So what is the book of redemption? It's the title deed. Is it just the title deed? Let's continue to read. He says, the abstract title deed. What is the abstract title deed? The book that Christ released 50 years ago. 50 years ago, the book was released, which what? It opened up the abstract title deed. Let's continue reading so you understand. You say abstract. What does an abstract mean? It means it searched all the way back to its beginning. like the little drop of ink this morning, when it struck that bleach, it went all the way back. And when sin has been confessed and fallen into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh my, it gives an abstract right straight back to the Creator again. Amen. We lose you? What gives you the abstract? I just read it. Did you catch that? He says, like that little drop of ink this morning, when it struck the bleach, it went all the way back. And when sin has been confessed, catch it? When sin has been confessed and fallen into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh my, it gives an abstract right back, right straight back to the Creator again. And you become a son of God, abstract title deed is held in the hand of the Almighty. Amen. It was. Now it's in the hand of what? The intercessor. Amen. So what? You can't say, oh, if I could just get to God. You have the mediator. Amen. And the mediator took the book. And the mediator in Revelation 10, what? He come down with a little book and gave it to John. It gave you the abstract title deed. Very quickly, what is an abstract title deed on a property? Remember, when that property, when it's being sold and so forth, some people, when they don't pay their bills or whatever, however it works, but people put a lien on that property. So anyone who wants to purchase that property, they say, okay, like when I was doing my sheriff sale, I wanted to buy this house, it was like $105,000. I said, I got to have it. So I started looking into it. Well, they actually had a lien on the place for like, it was like $15,000. So now, in order for me to redeem or to buy that property, I just didn't have to pay $105,000. I had to pay $120,000 because I had to take care of every lien that was on that property. Everything that was ever done wrong on that deed, any claim on that deed, what? It had to what? You have to clear that in order to get the property. And when Christ died, what? He took possession at this time of the title deed from God, the book of redemption. And it's known as the abstract title deed. As far as when you have the abstract, there's nothing that can be laid onto that title. It is free and clear. There's no problems there. There's no one say, oh, wait a minute, he owes me. No. It is 100% clear. And your prophet said, when you come under that blood, it becomes an abstract to your sins. So let me ask you, when you get the down payment of the inheritance, what does it do? It puts the abstract right in you. The life of the blood is in you. So who can say to that vessel that you're not redeemed? The holder of the abstract is in you. Jesus. Now, if we can, I'd like to go a little bit farther. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? I know this stuff's maybe a little bit hard, maybe a little bit deep. I hope it's not too bad. Now remember, to redeem is to bring it back to its original place. Okay? So, if the book was took and it was given, what? Back into the hand of humanity. It literally puts humanity back to its original condition. Hallelujah! I'm going to be excited about that. Because everything within this vessel is groaning for a change. Amen. When the animals are dying, they're crying out, they're groaning. And they're groaning for life. And yet, they're groaning for something more than life. They're groaning for the perfection. Your prophet said that. Now notice here, if we could, I want to go a little bit farther with this. Back in, who is this, Melchizedek 65, 221, or 116, it says, being eternal with Him. At the beginning, the eternal life that you had, His thought of what you was, only, He wanted you to, He wanted me to stand in the pulpit, say, He wanted you to sit in that seat tonight. Then we are serving His eternal purpose. You're living out redemption? Do you realize that you're living out redemption right now? You know the only thing different? Is you have the book. Let's continue. He says, all right, then after it's finished, it's brought back into in a glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. Okay? So what? You've come to serve your purpose. And it's finished, it's brought back to a glorified state, glorified body. It's matured and brought back again. Praise God. Now, we're talking about a rapture here. Remember what redemption's claim is. Redemption's claim is when He comes forth to take His purchase. You are the purchase. Now, let's continue. Okay. Very quickly, First Seal 63, 123-5, brother, if it's there. He says, if we was talking about this kind of a book, it would be like putting a strap across it, seven straps. But it isn't this kind of a book. It's a scroll. And then when the scroll is unwound, that's one. Then laying right in the scroll is number two. And right here it says what it is, but it's a mystery. But yet we have probed into it. But remember, the book is sealed. And the book is a book of mystery of revelation. So what is the book of redemption? It is a book of mystery. Which what? Closes the door for a lot of people. Right? But notice here, if we continue, it says, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. A book of revelation. So it calls it, he says the Lamb took the book, but your prophet said it was actually a scroll, and the scroll would have seven seals around it, and that was broke. But he said, what was it? It was redemption. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember, so what could no man even be worthy to look upon? The revelation of Jesus Christ. What was the book of Revelation? It is a complete unfolding of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, notice this, if we could very quickly. I know I'm backstepping a little bit into this book. But notice, if we could, in Revelation 13:8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Amen. So notice, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The book of life written then? So what? God is not presently compiling a number of names to be on this book. Everything has already been done. For further clarification, Revelation 17:8. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is." So what? The names were written on the book before the foundation of the world. So you don't have to see her tonight. "Oh, if I could only get my name on that book." It's an unfolding of yourself. Hallelujah. Now, remember here, and I'm not going to get too far into this because I don't got the time to do it. Because you see, you can spend sermons on just preaching on the book of life in itself and the book of remembrance and Lamb's book of life and so forth. But yet, I just want to state this in here to show you, church, that you have been predestined. If you're redeemed, you always were redeemed. So what? You don't have to say, "Okay, oh God, if you could only show me I'm redeemed tonight." You already were redeemed. You already were put on the book. If you're sitting here, it should tell you that that's what you are. Not because you believe the message, because there's plenty of serpent seed that do that, but because something personally has settled with the fact that you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Something has changed you. What's your motive? Are you looking for this shiny thing or that shiny thing? Or have you found that your whole purpose is to do the will of God? Because what will the Holy Ghost do? Well, when Jesus Christ was baptized by the Holy Ghost, He could do nothing but the Father's will. That's all He cared about doing. Does that mean I can't plant potatoes? No. But your constant thought is how to fulfill the Father's, or to fulfill the Father's will in your life. Praise God. Now, let's continue on. The breach between the seven church ages. 92-4, if you can bring that up, brother. "And he saw one sitting upon the throne with this book in his hand," in his right hand. Think of it. Now, "And then in this book was the title deed to redemption." All the ability to what? Return back to your original state. Now, you see, a lot of times we have misconceptions. We say, okay, and I want you to understand what's going on here. I don't know if I have time to fully go through it tonight. But do you realize, church, that the rapture started when them seals were opened? A shout, a voice, and a trump. But you have to also remember in Revelation 10, He said, "Time shall be no more." When the angel come, what? The covenant angel cries. What? When he broke the seals and the seven thunders uttered, what? "Time shall be no more." Let's think at it like this. With God, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. So tell me, how long has it really been? Just a moment. Like it just happened. Because you see, Remember, your prophet, he was bringing it down. He's saying, he said, remember when this happens, when the Lamb takes the book, the altar becomes smoky and Christ is no longer interceding. Well, I'm a proof right now that he's interceded. Praise God. Well, what's the proof of intercessory? Well, remember, redemption is the proof. Let me say this right. What proves that it's over? When redemption has played out what it is. So if you see what it's saying, Christ is still intercessing because you have not been manifested yet. God is not going to leave a church to take a rapture without showing the ministry of Jesus Christ. He cannot do it. Why? Because the body must look like the head. Because what? A body that looks like the head proves that there is a head to the body. So what you think, all these message people think that God's getting ready to bring a rapture and they don't even look like Christ. God's not going to take a headless horseman up in a rapture. God has to have a church that's fully in line with what He is. Now, I'm not finished with that thought, but I would like to finish with what I'm reading, because I didn't get very far here. He says, now, and then in this book was a title deed to redemption back in the breach, and it was sealed with seven seals, and then an angel came forth, a strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to take the book? Who was able to open the seals? Who was able to open this book? See, the angel asked it, John saw it. And he said, now who's worthy? Let him. Oh my, maybe I'm just feeling this away. But let him, said the angel, let him. Here is the book of redemption. Now notice, what is the book of redemption? He says, here is the book of redemption. Now look at what he calls it. He says, here is the plan of redemption. So what is the book? The book is the plan. You see why it has to come back to the Word. Because the book of redemption, we just think that the book of redemption or the book of life is just some names, but it's got a lot more to do with it than this, that. The book of redemption shows the very essence of God. It shows His nature and the plan of redemption that He's trying to fulfill it. So you see why the message has had so many scruples in the Word. Where false doctrine comes in is where you leave the plan of redemption. You see this? So when the book of redemption was opened, it released the very Word to make you the redemption. If you see what I'm saying, it makes you redeemed. Now notice this. Here is the plan of redemption. Here is the only way you'll ever be redeemed. For here is the title deed to redemption of the whole heavens and earth. So, how are you to live? To make a rapture? to express the abstract title deed. It's the whole purpose of it. Oh boy. To be able to show that there's not one sin that can be laid to your charge.
Amen.
Because remember, what is one thing that Satan cannot fight? Revelation. He cannot fight revelation. So if you have revelation, revelation of what? Revelation that the abstract title deed has been passed on to you. Meaning what? Don't you see the plan of redemption? The plan of redemption is that Christ comes to reveal himself for what he is. You see what he is to you, and that brings you to a place that you can express what? The plan of redemption, which is what? The abstract title deed. There's no charge on you. The devil tells you you're sick. What does the abstract title deed say? The devil tells you you're oppressed. What does the abstract title deed say? Because what is it? That is the cause of the fall. But the title deed takes you from the fall and puts you back to the original place.
Amen.
I'm going to break into Sunday a little bit. Do you realize, was Adam in a state that he thought he was a sinner walking in the cool of the evening with Christ? Why not? Why not? Because at the original creation, God gave him the abstract title deed right at the beginning.
Right. Right.
So if the title deed was given back,
amen,
did Adam have to say, oh, boy, I hope I don't sin today? Now I ask you, was there potential that Adam sinned? Sure. He did fall, didn't he? So what was the difference? The abstract title deed. So the abstract title deed actually brought him to the condition that even though he knew he could fall, I'm bringing this revelation to you now, even though they know they can fall, the revelation in them is that they cannot fall. Because why? Because they've been joined back to the husband. What joined them to the husband? The abstract title deed. And if Christ purchased that, can sin overcome the abstract title deed? No! Can you, being a sinner, stop the abstract title deed? No! Oh no. Here we go. What shows you have the abstract title deed this day? The earnest. Because the earnest places the title deed back in your hand. Hallelujah! They're getting ready to lock all the Christians up. They're getting ready to crash the financial system. They look like they're going to back Israel. Like Israel said, they said the only way we're going to make a treaty, they're going to have us back in the corner with a gun to our head and say you have to give up the land. It's all sitting there right now. You know what that means to me? Nothing, because I have the abstract title deed. Remember, your prophet said he had the Holy Ghost. We know he had the Holy Ghost. But what did he say? He said, I have to drop back until this catches up with this. Now, what was this? Revelation 13:16. The council of churches tightening up. Do you know what that means? That event would trigger the full output of the abstract title deed. His ministry couldn't go any farther. I'm getting into Sunday. I hope this is all right. But yet, do you realize, church, that literally the reason why you're sitting here just like this, oh, I feel so disconnected from God, is why? Is it because he hasn't loosed the seals? A lot of people think that God hasn't, that Christ hasn't loosed the seals yet. You see why? Because they don't have a revelation of the Word. The Word is simple. But you have to allow it to affect your condition. When Adam came on earth, did he have a potential? Like I said, did he have the ability to make mistakes? Absolutely. Don't you see where you're at? How many of you are going to have the ability to make a mistake tomorrow? Okay? It's like you're in the same spot Adam is. Just like he was. Well, wait a minute. When Adam fell, he got kicked out of the garden. You know why? Because he forfeited the book. And then what? That's when Adam looked that all hope was lost. Just like your prophet said. What made Adam, what made Job cry out and say, oh, though the skin worms corrupt my body, in my flesh I'll still see God. But say, I'll wait till my change comes. My Redeemer liveth. And David and all them, they're crying out for a Redeemer. Why? Because they were lost. Why? Because they didn't have the title deed. They didn't even have redemption. That's why Christ had to go down into hell and preach to the lost. So tell me, where in the book of Acts do we see them not expressing the title deed? And then we start getting ourselves and say, Well, remember, they couldn't express the title deed because the title deed wasn't given them yet. But yet, redemption had come to give what? An earnest. Let me say this as clear as I can say this. When Christ's blood poured out, it atoned for sin, and what? He gave them the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has just been what? Been intercessing, giving people earnest of their inheritance, and they've been dying, and they go on. They don't even die. Excuse me. They sleep, and then they go on. And they could only live the full expression of what the earnest was. But when the Lamb loosed the seals, what did that do? It literally loosed the full potential to go beyond the earnest.
Right. Amen. Right. Amen.
Into the original state.
Amen.
When was that? 63. And the church has backslid this far that we can't even show the atonement as far as the Holy Ghost infilling. Well, don't you understand why? Because, remember, when will intellectual giants and anointed ones come? Right after the seals. Right? Your prophet said anointed ones at time. He said, when are the anointed ones going to come? Right after the seals. They'll come forth now. Why did he set that with the seals? Well, he must have just been making something up. Why would there be coming forth of intellectual giants?
Amen.
Don't you get it? Don't you get it? We're literally sitting here the way we are because the devil is fighting you so hard to keep the revelation from you.
Right.
Tell me, what do anointed ones, false anointed ones do? By their false anointing, they lead you from the truth. Come on, I know I'm deep. What do intellectual giants do? Let me tell you. They twist the word. From what? The original word. And why were they unleashed then? To keep the simplicity of the word from becoming your revelation. Because what? What is the Father seeking? Those that worship in spirit and truth. So he would allow some to take you on a false anointed run. And he let some take you on a false intellectual run. Don't tell me this ain't hitting the message. I know it's hitting the message. I've watched it my whole life. I've been in this message. 10 years. 11. So what is it? Well, you know, that's just Benny Hinn. That's just McDowell or whoever his name is, whatever. Don't you understand where it's come to? We're sitting here. Everybody in the message is good. That's your problem. You have to allow the word to be exercised. How could God loose the seals and for 50 years we haven't been able to produce them because of the denominations, because of those false anointed ones? No, because it's right in the message. Hallelujah! If I start getting a false anointing or a false word, get it right! That's why Paul said, he said, if I come and preach something different, let me be accursed. Well, what? Will you follow a tangent on the word or will you just believe the word? Everybody's looking for a thunder to be released or something, and the word has already been loosed. Why do you need a seven thunders to speak again? When the power of the redemption was let, when the seals were broke. Really? For all those people who say, oh, if we could only have the seven thunders. Tell me, when did your prophet say you could get back into Eden? He said it back when after he preached the seals.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Remember, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when the mystery should be finished. Gone! No more was needed. You just had too many people worshiping a prophet, too many people worshiping an anointed preacher, too many people trying to follow some teaching, and nobody's wanting to live the Word. Well, what is it? Not that they're not living the Word as far as living clean lives, but they just haven't met the person. Who is going to give you the perfect will? Your pastor. Now part of it will come from there. Don't go running. But do you realize that just like you can't go on a grandfather's experience, you have to go on, not with a pastor's experience. You got to go on with your experience. You've got to find God. Which means what? You've got to hunger for God. Right. Amen. 2014. Can the bride what? Become the bride of the released, of the rest, of the free, of those in liberty. Do you realize what liberty is? It's Eden. Amen. Oh, you're all quiet now. How can you be at perfect liberty and not be in Eden? Because Eden tells you you're perfectly protected. Oh, Lord, I'm all over Sunday. That's all right. Now, notice. I want to finish this. Where was I at? Amen. I love God. Now notice this. Go wake Jesus in 63. I want to show you this. Paragraph 9. He says, that church is a predestinated church. Every name that was ever put on that book, Jesus came to redeem. It was done in Jesus Christ. Jesus has got to die for me. No, you're already redeemed. He did it back there. And what's the revelation? He didn't pour out his attributes until after his blood spilled. So you could receive the credit of that blood by revelation. The third Paul. The opening of the Word. The Word opens you. How can the Word open you? Because you are the Word. Amen. Now notice this. He says, and when the last name is redeemed, the book is closed. Now remember, your prophet said, and souls are in prison. He said tonight could be the last night of redemption. Tonight could, because remember, he thought that literally the rapture is going to take place right there. Even during the seals, he said, tonight could be that night. Well, we've kind of got away from that, haven't we? The mentality's gone, isn't it? How many are you going to go home and say, I'm going to heck like tomorrow's going to be the rapture? Thank you. Speak that word. Now notice. So what? Within the breaking of the seals, you would have a what? You would have the Lamb loosing the seals. But notice, He had to reveal the full plan of redemption. Pay attention to that. Because in opening that book, He released the title deed to the people. But it was going to take time for the people to catch the plan of redemption. So the prophet said, okay, the seals are broke. It's time to go home. But in God's mind, He knew of the ones that you'd be fighting as far as as far as fighting those, the demons and everything else, you'd be fighting to come to manifestation. And in that statement, what? He knew that it would take time for that word to be revealed and live.
Right.
So, what's this quote saying? From the time that the book would be loosed, it would still be judged fully on when that last soul would come in. Remember, your prophet's crying out, I don't even know if my kids are in it. I pray my kids are in it. But what the manifestation is fully dependent on when the last soul comes in. You know what's crazy about that? How many believe you're the last soul? No. But let me ask you a question. How many would have something inside of you and it says, they're going with me?
Amen.
What is that? What is that? Well, if you're a son of God and there's a faith, if there's a faith that's coming forth, because remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if that hope says that they're yours, what does that mean? There's still attributes that have left to be redeemed. Because remember, there ain't going to be no foolish virgins made up in this tribulation either. It's done. So if something inside of you says, yep, they're saved, what is that a proof of? The ministry's not done.
Amen.
See why it's coming back on you? It's like I keep on telling people, do you realize how important you are? How many souls are depending on your life? Why? Because people are good to you. Yep. Matthew 25, it'll fulfill that part.
Right.
What did we give Christ? When did we do this to you, God? When you did it to them. And how many has it touched your soul and said, yep, they're coming with me, God.
Amen.
They're coming.
Right.
What? And Satan's here, oh no, they're, you might as well just give up on them. Don't even pray for them, they're all right. Yet something inside of you is held and said, they're coming with me. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
Rahab got her whole house in. Remember, what did the token message say? It said you could take whoever you want. Go back and listen to it. Why is it talking about Rahab? Why was that talking about you creating an atmosphere? And when you come into the presence of them people, you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, get off of them. But see, what's the problem? You haven't come into the ministry of creating the atmosphere. Well, where's an atmosphere coming from? Knowing what you are. They created an atmosphere under the earnest. Remember, your prophet told the stories about how one man could pray. He could stop on the bridge and pray every man who comes across this bridge. Let him fall into the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And people were walking across that bridge and falling down and weeping and giving their lives to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, that was for them. And you got the title deed? The book is open, church. The seals have been loosed. It's time for you to come into revelation. Remember your prophet continued on the story. He said, and then the man, he come into the people's house and he sat down at the table. He said, Lord, everybody that comes and sits at this table, God, may they fall into the conviction of the Holy Spirit and give their life to God. They said, one by one, and people would come in.
They call them sinners. They'd walk right in that table, sit down, they start weeping, and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. If they could do that in a sanctification message, what's the problem? You're just trying to make it. Isn't that the problem? We're just trying to make it. When we have not been called just to make it. We have been called to possess, to overcome, to become Christ in flesh. Why? You are redemption, church. You have been called to be the redeemed. Redeem the original place. It's yours. But we settle. Say, yeah, God. Just help me live like a Christian today. That's what I need, God. If I can just overcome this thing, fight my life. You ain't got a revelation of your flesh yet? You ain't got a revelation of what you have? What's the problem? If you actually just live like you had the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost puts you in service, you wouldn't be dwelling so much on everything else. I've got a service I got to do today. God, what do you want me to do? You ever start out that way? We start and say, oh, I got to die daily. Oh, God, I know I'm going to sin so much today. And all you're supposed to do is say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost today, God. Why do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? So I can live so perfectly, be perfect. Why do you want to be Jesus Christ? Because I want to be perfect. What makes you perfect? Jesus Christ. So if you already have Jesus Christ making you perfect, what else would Jesus Christ do? He would struggle. He would suffer. You know, Jesus wept. Yeah. And when he came and took the book, he was a lion. Well, it looks like Jesus went back to a bloody lamb. He's still got to really intercess for me because I'm just the biggest sinner of all time. The blood doesn't show you you're a sinner. The blood shows you you're free from sin. Your revelation tells you you're a sinner. Remember your prophet said, he said you can't be a sinner and a saint.
Right.
What are you tonight? How many sinners I got here tonight? Come on, just admit it. Anybody? Any takers? I know, it's because of what I'm saying. But what if God was going in your life and you say, oh, I screwed up. Oh, I did this wrong. Instead of realizing that at every moment of the day, you're supposed to create an atmosphere. Why? What is your purpose here? If the only thing holding back the purchased possession is the last soul, why are you here? Why? When John ate the book, God told him that you have to prophesy to many nations, multitudes, and tongues. Because the whole purpose of giving you that book was to get the last soul. What you going to get tomorrow? Well, that depends how I take things tomorrow. I might wake up on the wrong side of the bed. On Satan's side? Why don't you just get off on Jesus' side? It says his mercies are renewed every morning. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Oh, I'm such a big sinner. I'm going to wake up and say, I love you, Jesus. I'm dying today, God. Kill this flesh. And then God, off to a mission. I got a witness to everybody. Create an atmosphere. What is an atmosphere? Is an atmosphere a witness? I'm saying, in our carnal thoughts, we say, oh, I got to tell somebody. Well, don't worry. If you create the atmosphere, that will tell everybody too.
Right.
And that will even tell you how to witness.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know the stuff in my notes. It just starts coming out. I just don't get it. Oh, maybe I do. Yep, ain't been on my notes for a while now. But let's just get ready to close. Oh, Lord, I did it again. That's your fault this time. Now notice this. I'm going to finish that quote and we're going to quit. Every name that was ever put on that book, Jesus can redeem. And when the last name is redeemed, the book is closed. So what does that mean right now? The book's open. The book is closed when the last soul comes in. So right now, it's open. Let's continue. Now, he didn't intend that no one would be lost. Oh, praise God. But his foreknowledge let him know who would be lost. Therefore, he could predestinate. And then their names were put onto the book. And then when that book of redemption is closed and sealed with seven seals, while it's being worked out by the mysterious powers of God, and someday when the book of redemption is finished, the Lamb takes it. And then the last name is called off of that. The Lamb comes forward to call for what He has redeemed. That's His church. Praise God. So it's coming a day when all of a sudden, yep, took the book. Closed the book. Why? Because my children, my body that I have down there, finally got off themselves and actually got some souls saved. God, if I could just be a witness. God, if I could just create an atmosphere. God, put the Holy Ghost all around me, God. God, draw them to you. You know I'm not a good witnesser. And Jesus says, I'm a good witnesser. Say, oh, if I say it wrong, that's the devil talking to you. Just get a little bit deeper. He says, you love God? So you see? You see what's going on now? I'm just nibbling in. But do you see what you have? I just don't know the seals. God, is there seven thunders? God, what's got to eat? There must be something. No. Every impersonation was sent. Hold back the bride. Everything that Satan can throw at you, from person to mind battle to every little thing that he can throw at you, is now thrown on you. Because why? You can't impersonate the third pole. The third pole can only come by the open word in your life. So I ask you, what word has been opened in your life tonight? If you don't get it, you better get a CD. Because this is simple. This is very simple. Everything's already been done. Everything's been done. And then on top of that, he handed you the abstract title deed. Oh, and by the way, yeah, he gave you the earnest too.
Right.
Oh, if I could only see the Holy Ghost in me. What's holding you back? Yeah, the devil telling you, oh, yeah, you don't want to act like that. You don't want to get too excited for God. Well, that's not quite being free in the Spirit. And the devil will come and tell you every little thing to stop you from operating the Holy Ghost. Yeah. God just don't hear you. God's sitting here, I want to give you every gift. What do you want? Yeah, I'm just not ready for it. that, the Holy Ghost just can't come down here tonight because I'm tired. You're tired? Soul gets tired? Since when does a soul get tired? Well, my flesh is tired. Oh, your flesh. I didn't know you were taking your flesh with you. Paul said he's going to put off this flesh. You listen to it, it's either the breach or the seals, and the prophet God said, oh, yeah. He said, the devil's trying to tell me that you're tired. So the devil's even telling Brother Brandon. He said the devil. The devil was telling him that the people were tired. So what tells you you're tired? Because remember, Brother Brandon wasn't getting tired in the seals. It's like, oh, I can preach this all night long. Why? He was under the anointing. So what tells you you're tired? The flesh. What tells you you're not tired? The anointing. Why am I not tired right now? Because I'm anointed. But you know what? When I get done, I'm just going to fall right out. You know why? Because I'm going to let the anointing die off. Why am I going to let the anointing die off? Because that's just what we do, you know? Why ask you? God wants the service over. Let's go home. Why? I ain't saying Brother Dustin or Brother Dave's got to sing 50 songs. Because you know what? Maybe that's not what God wants him to do. But what if the Holy Ghost does? Be led of the Spirit, brother. And you know what? What if Brother Steve's hand starts going numb from all that playing? God bless him. But I ask you, couldn't the abstract title deed take care of that too? Yeah. Right? You ever seen song leaders? They start saying, they say, I've been in services where they look at me and say, come on, get up here and sing. Why? You're the song leader. My voice, my voice. You have the title deed. Can I tell you a quick story? As we're closing. I listened to years ago. I used to be a big fan of Calvary Chapel, the Greg Laurie thing. And one of the preachers of the Calvary Chapel, he had actually lost his voice. And he was trying to, I can't say preach because they really teach. But he's just, and in the middle of his statement, he didn't have any voice at all. His voice just went right back to normal. And he started screaming. And yeah, I hadn't thought about that for a long time, but you like how the Holy Ghost works? He started screaming and shouting. And if God could do that to somebody without the Holy Ghost, without the revealed word, what kind of dominion do we have? Do you mean that we have the ability to pluck up a mountain and throw it in the sea, and we can't control the very members of our body? Back in the Sunday. I'll quit. I know. Your flesh is tired. My soul's not. Make that devil stand up. Yep, I'm getting into something here, ain't I? But do you want it? Do you realize this is the whole purpose of why you're here? So, but tell me, before you can have the abstract title deed, don't you have to know that you have the Holy Ghost? Don't you know? Don't you have to know how to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost a little bit? Don't you have to know that God's in charge? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. I love God, don't you? See where we're at? Who's the sinner here? I ain't got one sinner here. How awesome that is. I'm not a sinner either. Flesh is. I'm not taking that with me anyway.
Right. Right.
Yep, back to that. So what am I? I'm pretty happy because God has given me the abstract title deed. I'm back. I'm back where? I'm back to Eden. Yep. Simple little word. Well, if you think about it, Jesus had a little book.
Amen.
And he gave to John a little book. Little enough for him to eat it.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. How many want to become the people of the book?
Amen.
While that book's still open, and God's still redeeming souls, he's still intercessing. We say, God, I want to get those souls, God. And Lord, I want to forget about calling myself a sinner and just accept what you've given me. And if I don't feel like I have it, why can't you show me tonight, God? Why can't you? God, can't you give me a revelation? Sure I can. See what it's going to take to be that type of church? It's coming. We are the body. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, God, and we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, just a simple little thought, God. But Lord, the whole plan of redemption has been made known to us, God. Lord, Paul didn't know it. Hallelujah. Lord, Wesley didn't know it. None of them knew it, God. And Lord, for some reason, you gave us the plan of redemption. You showed us fully who you are and fully what you've done for us, which makes us fully what you are. God, reveal it to us, God. And Lord, you know the problem is a lot of times we just don't really think we've got the Holy Ghost because we look at the flesh so much. But God, would you reveal it to us, God, what we have, God? Would you just reveal it, God? I ask you, Lord. And God, if we don't have that confidence, God. Lord, let us go to finding it, God. And Lord, crying out, Lord, until that assurance comes. God, help us, Lord. Refill us, God. Lord, of course, that's why the refilling is so important. Lord, I just ask tonight, God. Lord, I might have been a little long on the fleshes. But God, the souls of God, them attributes, God, are stirred up and crying out, Lord. Seeing what they are, God. Mine is, Lord, and I know where else I got to go, Lord, and I'm excited about it, Lord. God, reveal the Word to us. God, reveal who we are. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, show us how free we are. And God, let us treat you like you are the one that loosed the seal. Gave us redemption. Put us in the original place, Lord. We pray it tonight. And Lord, take all our weariness of the flesh away. We rebuke that flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. You're a liar, Satan. And we're tired of letting you rule our lives. Lord, take full preeminence of these vessels, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, you just give us a peace, God, that only your redemption could have produced. We pray it allowed to be so. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride says, amen. Let's sing that song, Can't You See Why I'm So Happy. And can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the
the prophet of Malachi 4. Hallelujah! Oh, can't you see? Oh, why I'm so happy? Because he loosed the seals. Oh, because I've accepted the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. One more time. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Hallelujah! Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. Oh, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. One more time as our brother comes. Well, can't you see why I'm so happy?
I've accepted the word of the Lord. The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. For one more time, can't you see? And can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. The revealed word that was spoken prophet of Malachi. One more time. Can't you see why I'm so happy? And can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Gee. First verse there.
Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art smiling, do not pass me by. Our hearts are crying, Savior, oh
While
Jesus. Thank you, Father. I trust all were blessed this evening. Amen. I know I was. Amen. Let's sing that song, What a Day That Will Be. Amen. There's coming a day. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. Happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be, and what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.